what we're training on today, I have came across another great book of Al Schrider, and I got such great feedback from last week's call that Lydia said, well, Mary Jo, they love the material. Maybe we can help them with some more in prospecting on some of the ideas Al has in this book. So I looked through this book that he had on 26 instant marketing ideas to build your network marketing business, and they're ideas that I loved as well. And so I thought, boy, these things are something I'd like to start implementing. Now, the other thing that came up in my whole, you know, process of preparing for today and thinking through how I could help you guys in the field and help myself and my own, of course, my organization as well, because they're on the call and not you know, this is cross line. It's every all lines, in fact, all over the world. One of the intriguing things is that I keep giving you these ideas, and last week was a great one, and people said, wow, this is information I'm going to immediately start applying. But I never get a chance to say, what did you change in your life? Or what are you committing to change? Because, you know, every single day of our life, we don't have to make commitments every day to change. But I think once a week we should do an overview and say, okay, what am I committing to do differently? And make a commitment to do something differently. Because, you know, that whole book about the slight edge, I don't know how many of you have read it, but, you know, and Andy Andrews has his own, concepts around that. And so does, you know, who is the guy we had at Manifest as well. We have all these great speakers. They give us all these things. But the concepts are the same. The principles behind them are the same. It's about, you know, if we keep doing the same thing we're always doing, we can't expect to get different results. So how do I, and I know my call is about a training. It's not about, you know, results, but hopefully trainings produce results. And if I'm not helping people produce results, then I feel like all I'm doing is throwing a lot of stuff on a wall. So I talked to Lydia about this week and see if it resonates with some of you. But one of the ideas we had was to build a Facebook page for ManaTrain and just allow people to post there, and then I could post, like, documents on here's how I'm implementing this, da-da-da. And so people might be able to get some feedback on what different people are doing, taking the Monday calls and start applying it in their life in different ways. And maybe that would give people, I don't know, it might resonate more with everybody, that they would feel more confident and comfortable and feel more follow through on taking some of these ideas on a weekly basis and really putting them to work. You guys give me feedback. Is that something that you would feel favorable? I know you probably spend a lot of time on Facebook already, or maybe you don't. You might be like Mary Jo, who is kind of hit and miss on it. But I think that if we had a place where we would focus on improving our, you know, our efforts and our energies in doing our ManaTech business and approaching people, so you could accumulate different ideas. Different people could post different ideas and what they're doing, and I could put up, like, I came up with a form that I'm going to be using on, you know, Monday mornings. Okay, so what am I doing differently that I'm applying what I learned in my ManaTech business? And I have to choose something different every week. And that's just a form that I'm going to be using. So that would be posted, like, up there. Would you guys game for that or not, a Facebook page, or is that just another issue in your life, one more thing to look at? Because I'm just trying to help in implementation. Give me feedback. Send me emails. Let us know. Because this is, you know, like I said, yep.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. Anything to help? Because you might love the trainings, but it's like, what am I doing? Am I really applying them? I think that sometimes that happens. We love what we hear, but then life gets busy and we forget to implement. And maybe we can use it as an implementation. So that's really what I want to call it, like an implementation, what Facebook share. What am I doing differently? And so ideas can be there. Okay, so maybe we'll put that together and put it out there, and we'll just see how many hits it gets and see if it's worthwhile to all of you once it gets up and going. And again, it's just about helping everybody in ManaTech create the best possible results. But part of it would have been like last week's information, because it was really terrific. So this week is, again, a lot of instant marketing ideas that you can apply to your business to create differences, to make something different happen, because a lot of people aren't getting great results out there. They're just, and a lot of the reason is because the number one reason, I believe, as I see what's happening with people that complain that they're not moving forward, is they're just not contacting enough people. Because this is really a business about going out and showing the plan and discussing ManaTech with as many people as possible. And if you don't do enough people, if you're not targeting 10, 20, 30, 40 people a week, whatever you choose, some people are doing 100. But if you're not doing enough people a week, then you can't expect results, because it's not about, well, I did talk to one person last week about Manitech. Well, that we call the snail's pace, right? I mean, it takes more than one, so it's about people. But we also want to be very efficient with how we approach people and very effective, right? Both efficient and effective. And so we spend a lot of time talking about ways to be more effective. And that's what these marketing ideas are today from Al Schrider. Now, the book is 26 marketing ideas. As I started outlining all of these yesterday and last night, I came to the conclusion it was impossible for me to cover 26 in one Monday call. So what we're doing is splitting it up. I'm going to do 12 of them today, and I'm going to do the last 14 next Monday. So let's jump in and talk about some great new instant marketing ideas that you can use in your Manitech business that perhaps will help you be more effective in terms of bringing people to concluding this is the business that they want in their lives. This is what they'd like to be doing. And so let's jump in, and we're just going to, like I said, we're going to go through the first 12, and I think I even gave you some examples right out of his book as well that you could choose to type up or implement as well. So let's dig in. First one is, idea number one was, politicians use it, newscasters use it, shouldn't you? That's the title of the first one. And what he's talking about is sound bites. He's talking about those little bits of bites of information, not bits, but bites, a little bite of information that stand out in the prospect's mind. In other words, you know, and one of the reasons this is so important is because we have limited attention spans today. I know ADHD is very popular out there, but it's even if you haven't been diagnosed with it, we are an information age society. In other words, we get millions of bits of data that are thrown at us on a daily basis, and we make quick decisions about everything. Otherwise, we'd just get buried. So it's a matter of survival that people have been trained and taught to make quick decisions. So when we're out there talking about Manitech, people are going to have a tendency to want to make a quick decision about it. And what's important is that we come up with some sound bites, like they do in political arena, in newscasting, that cause people to remember us, or they think it puts us in the best possible light in their mind. So, you know, we remember some of the examples that were given in the book. You remember George Bush, and he said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." Whether that really happened or not was unimportant, but as a political slogan, it had a lot of impact. Because those are important issues, right? People said, wow, no new tax. This is a no new tax guy. That's all they cared about. They could care less about everything else that was going on. They just kind of took him for his word on no new taxes, and that was important, and so he won the election. So something that's really short, obviously doesn't tell anywhere near the whole picture, just one little iota bit of data. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Of course, you know, most of us think cigarettes are pretty gross, so we would never even react to that. But that was a famous little soundbite that caused the Winston cigarette to take off in marketing. And that was years ago, 50 years ago. But today I don't know if you could have any soundbite that would help cigarettes and their sales, not here in the U.S. anyway. But you know, those, again, a little short soundbite. You deserve a break today, right? And that's another one. So there's many different ones that we see out there, and that's why, you know, companies come out with short sayings, cute sayings that you relate to. And that's what makes a difference. It causes us to be dedicated and committed to that product. So in Al's book, he put a bunch of these down for different product lines, and I took out of them the ones that were related to nutrition products. And these are just suggestions by Al in his book. Obviously, we can come up with our own, and probably some of us have some of those already in our minds that we use, but I don't know that we have dedicated them to be sound bites. And I think it'd be important for us to take aside, look at what our presentations sound like or what we always seem to include, and maybe make a list of four or five sound bites that we always say and clip them and fine-tune them to be give us the highest and paint the highest and best picture for Manitech. But here's what he said. He uses sound bites when you talk about nutrition, because one of the things you want to do is you want the person to walk away with the thought that, wow, if I take this, I'm going to have more energy. If I take this, I'm going to feel better every single day. You know, he says, you'll be the only person awake and happy at 9 o'clock on Monday mornings. You know, why is that a soundbite? because most people, when they after the weekend, they get up Monday morning and they're miserable because guess what they have to do? Have to, notice, have to language, victim, you know, they pull all that negativity into the job. They're required to go back to a job. When I wake up Monday morning, I go work out 6 o'clock. I come back home. I do my gardening. I do my thing. I'm still wearing the same clothes I wore when I worked out at 6 o'clock this morning. I haven't even taken a shower yet today, and I've already done gardening. There's a different world in network marketing than what there is in the job marketplace, right? There's a level of freedom that we have that is not found. So that's a profound statement, is that you'll be the only person awake and happy at 9 o'clock on Monday mornings. That's a visual and a sound bite for people in our industry. This product makes you feel like you're 16 years old all over again, but with better judgment. You'll be the only person at work who doesn't have to take a nap at 3 in the afternoon. A lot of people get nappy in the afternoons. Some of you don't relate to that yet, but when you get past your 30s, I guarantee it starts sinking in. And it's not because of Mary Jo, it's because I hear about it from everybody. Instant energy in a capsule, that's kind of a fun word. When you come home from work, you won't feel like hitting the couch, you'll feel like dancing. Another great one. So there's a bunch of them around nutrition. The first one really applies more to a business opportunity, but the other ones are about nutrition. But again, think about your own. I'm not sold on any one of those. I'm just saying that that's the idea of sound bites, something that's a sound bite, a little quip that tells a lot in one short statement and is something memory will store. For skincare, your skin will look so smooth, everyone will want to touch it. Yeah. Because you know how people like to go up and go, wow, and they go like they rub their hand on your skin, and that's it. Okay, for the business opportunity he put in, it's like getting an extra check in your mailbox every week. Good soundbite. We call this the boss silencer. I'm not sure I like that one, but again, if you were your own boss, how much vacation would you take? Who makes more money, the employee or the boss? This is one of my favorites of his group he gave. It's like being a rock star. You write a hit song and collect royalties for life. That really rings. That resonates with people. So you got it? Sound bites. So pick, why aren't we using these? Maybe some of us are, but we don't even recognize what they are. But I think it's important to go back and look at what our presentation is, what great sound bites might work for us. And maybe next week we can even share some sound bites some of you might think you have, or this would be something you could post on a Facebook page of sound bites that you're using that seem to have a natural pull to them. Okay, second idea is, want leads of prospects who are presently suffering in the rat race? Here's an idea for you. How many of you ever gone into a restaurant where they have a fishbowl or something where you drop your business card in and they have a free drawing for a free lunch, like once a month or once a week or something like that, right? We've all done that, I'm sure. I'm not sure you've all put your business card in there, but we've all done it. Well, have you ever thought about what do they do with the cards after they have the drawing? So why not, when you see a restaurant like that, why don't you go up to the guy and say, listen, I'm looking for new contacts for my new business, and I'd love to be able to purchase those cards. And maybe if I just buy the free lunch that you're giving, you don't have to offer to buy it first. You could say, hey, what are you doing with those cards after you have the drawing? Could I come by and pick them up? Because I'd love to connect with people. They might think about that for a while, and you don't know. They might say no. They might say yes. But if they say yes, what a great deal. The other thing you could do is you could offer to pay for the lunch that they're giving away as a free lunch. So it's costing the restaurant nothing to do this little raffle. You just come in and pay for a lunch once a week or once a month and get the tickets that were put in the bowl. Either way, what a great concept for you to pick up a bunch of new leads. I've seen some of those bowls where there are like 100 tickets in there, 100 different business cards in there. So you can get them for free just by, again, offering to buy the meal. It's an idea I never had before, but I loved it, and I'm sure they're going to implement it. What do we know about the people that put their business cards in there? Well, we know they probably work 9 to 5. We know they have disposable income because they're out eating out, because that's how their card got in there in the first place, because they ate at the restaurant, right? We probably suspect they have regular jobs with their business cards in there. And we have an opportunity that we know is a possibility for them to get out of the rat race, right? So we have people that are in the rat race, that are in this, and they're in a box, and we're going to try to break down that box, the barriers of that box for them. So they present a whole great set of people that are in the rat race that are probably looking for other, if they're looking for a free lunch, they're probably looking for additional source of income too, likely to be more in tune with that than people who aren't looking for a free lunch, right? Think about it. Now, that makes some assumptions, but I think there's probably a level of some accuracy to that statement. Now, how do you follow up with them? And Al said in his book, he said, no, I wouldn't call them. And the people are asking, well, why wouldn't you call them? Because we always tell people direct connection, belly-to-belly business. We want to be able to hear the person. We want to be in interaction with them. And he said, no, draft a short sales letter to these prospects. And he says, why does he do the letter? It's because he uses that as a sifting process, a sorting process. If you got 50 people out there, you don't want to have to call 50 people and spend time on the phone with 50 people, 40 of whom would never have interest. So how do you do my sorting process? I send out letters. And I use some sound bites in the letters, and I tell them, if they're interested, give me a call. Here's my email address. Drop me a note or a Facebook page, and let's talk. And you do it that way. So you just, and if you want to know what that short sales letter looks like, that's another thing I'd love to post some ideas on the Facebook page, right, of what that short letter looks like. But I think this is a great idea. I told Lydia, I said, the next time we go out to eat, we're hitting that restaurant. Whenever we see that, that's our first thing out of our mouth is how we can get access to those cards, right? Okay, so another great idea. Here's the third one, gift certificates. Like, let's say you sell skincare, and you're selling youth, or youth line, or youth and Lyft, you're selling combination of it. Who are the best skincare users? They'd be women, right? So you could go after men and talk to husbands and boyfriends and things like that around all the major Valentine's Day, Christmas, anniversaries. And, you know, the one thing that most men don't like to do is shop. They don't ever know what to buy. In fact, my husband was so funny. My birthday's this coming weekend, and my husband said, what do you want for your birthday? I'm just going, you know, I guess after 20-some years of marriage, maybe that's what happens. But I was just like, first of all, he's asking the wrong person because I don't have any wants. I don't ever have that. I don't yearn for anything. But I just told him, I said, I don't know. I said, surprises would be nice. No. Anyway, but it's, you know, they just typically don't like to make decisions like that. They don't know where to look. They don't know, you know, they're not in touch with what's the best thing. Then I'm not saying that's true about all men, but there are a lot of men that this is, you know, because you know what? These events seem to happen one right after another, and they seem always in the buying mode, and they run out of things to do. So you can come up and you know, talk to some of these guys that you know. They're people at your church or people in your sphere of influence. And you can tell them, great, I can get some super skincare products for your wife, da-da-da-da, and, you know, we can put that in there. And when you put together a basket of the skincare or a basket of nutritional products or whatever, you can put some gift certificates in there, redeemable for additional products. So the husband's paying for the first big box, and you just give him a couple certificates redeemable for additional products. And all of a sudden, you build a relationship with his wife. And it's in the product realm. So you already have a product user. You build a relationship. You have redeemable gift certificates. So clearly people really appreciate gift certificates. I don't know about you guys, but I've never lost one. I still have one for a full body massager, something my husband bought, paid $300. And I mean, I think this was a birthday gift about 6 years ago. I don't think it ever expires, but $300 tends to be worth only about $250 today, you know. But it's, you know, gift certificates we value, and we save them, and we keep them, and we, most people put them in, you know, utilize them as soon as possible because they're freebies. So that's another great idea. So you could go out there and put together gift certificates for products and put together gifts for people who are looking because they have a hard time choosing for gifts for older people, for wives, you know, and it works both ways. Sometimes women have a hard time buying for their man, you know, so you could work the other direction as well. Sometimes you could work just in the, you know, in the elderly population. People have a hard time buying presents for people who are in nursing homes or people who are just the grandparents, or are they just, there's groups every which way you can go. And you could talk about how do we purchase gifts for them, and you could be that in that role. And with certificates that allow you to sell more of your products, build a long-term relationship with somebody, all of a sudden you get either a consumer or potentially even a business builder to join you. Number four, how to get through to tough prospects. And this is a great idea because we have an incentive program coming up right now. But anytime you're on any incentive program, or if you happen to win the trip to Hawaii, which they do on an annual basis for presidential directors, what a great thing to buy 20, 30 postcards. Now, I used to do this every single year. I used to send postcards out to all my major business builders, just, you know, missing them in Hawaii, and trying to entice them to want to be there the next year and work harder in their business so they could achieve it, make it look very achievable, and which it is, because we've had hundreds and hundreds of people end up in Hawaii, unquestionably. You can look at how many presidentials have been broken in Manatech. I think 400 to 500, I may even be off in that number, but a lot. So there have been a lot of people that have been participating by going to Hawaii every year and in different years, and so it's a great time to entice people to get there. But Al's approach wasn't so much enticing. He was using it as a way to lure your tough prospects. So if you have a group of 20 people that you've been working on for 3 months that just kind of are stuck in the whole realm of things, when you go to Punta Cana, buy 20 postcards and drop of them. He even gave language on specifically what language to use for these different postcards, right? And I believe I put some of that language, yeah, like here's the language I put. I'm in Punta Cana learning new ideas on how to make my business even more profitable. Just learned some quick startup tips that might help you get bonus checks even faster. I'll share those ideas when I get back home. I know you'll enjoy them. Now, you didn't even really mention about how you could be on this trip with me or anything like that, but where are you sending the postcard from? Beautiful Punta Cana. So they're going to go, wow, what's he doing in Punta Cana in the middle of November or December, right? I mean, it's just a great way of showing without being showy and telling them that you just won this trip and you could be here too, da-da-da-da-da. This is just a great tool to entice people to be a part of your business. You can take that concept and then leverage off of that, which I hope to do this year. When I'm in Punta Cana, I'm going to actually apply this, and I'm going to connect with my people in my organization and say, okay, give me a list of your top five tough prospects that you've been having a hard time closing, and let me write a postcard to them from Punta Cana. And I'm going to do that with my downline. I know there's a lot of my downline on the call right now, and they're hearing Mary Jo commit to that, so know that I'm committing to that. So that's what Lydia and I are going to be doing, is sending out postcards to all these people out of Punta Cana with this exact language on it. And we'll actually do a test run for everybody and let you know how it works. But you can leverage it off by going into your downline, and you do the same language, except you say, I'll share these ideas with, and you would use the name of the person in your downline who has these different contacts. When I get back, I know you'll enjoy hearing about these money-making ideas from so-and-so when he or she called you. Great idea, great concept, and again, I've never used it for this. I've only used my trip postcards to try to keep in touch with my business builders, which I really enjoyed doing, and just enticing them to want to win these trips, because once you win one, you'd never want to miss another one. We had a terrific time in Cabo San Lucas last year, and I know my group that won this Punta Cana trip will also have a great time this year as well. But it's a good way to open the doors to tough prospects. Number five, want to guarantee a sales presentation with the toughest prospects. In other words, let's say you can't even get them to meet with you, right? So you make a list of your 10 top prospects you have not been able to meet with. Now, in Al's book, he uses an example of a company that has a great sales force. So he's looking at it from a bigger perspective. But what they did there, the company in the story sent a Coleman cooler to each one of these top 10 prospects with a note saying, I'll bring soft drinks for you and your staff to enjoy during our presentation meeting. And then with the invitation, right? Now, watch what happens. These guys get back and they go, when can we get together? How many want to now book appointments? So you're luring them by just a cute little thing like a Coleman cooler. Now, some of you in the, you might be saying, well, Mary Jo, I'm not going to send a Coleman cooler to people. I mean, you know, so maybe you don't want to invest in that because it might be too expensive. It might be so out of your budget. So he gave some other ideas, like sending out a mock front page of news with your prospect in the headlines, or send a plaque saying to the world's best listener. Send a travel video and card saying, I'd like to show you how you can take a vacation like this 4 times a year. In fact, Lydia and I were thinking about, when we read this and I put it in the outline, I was thinking, maybe I'll do some video shoots while we're in Punta Cana, right? Yeah, just use your imagination. This is outside the box thinking. It's thinking about different ways of approaching people who are just seem to be tough, not wanting to budge. And you feel frustrated and you say, Mary Jo, I've tried to call them and they don't seem to respond, or I gave them this and this and they're not. You know, it's time to do something different, isn't it? It's time to get some of those tough prospects. And it's the tough ones, in many instances, who can be your best potential business builders in your organization. So it's not about giving up on them. It's about how do I get them? And just another technique to use. Now, this is like, if you could get everybody to say, I want to join your MLM program. Here are my hot buttons. Could you set aside a little time to sign me up? How many of you would like to hear that language from everyone you shared with? Right? Perfect. Me too. I love it when people just look at me. And I've had that experience. I think I shared it when one of my Monday calls when I said, you know, I went out to talk to these one guy at a IHOP, and I was meeting with him. In my first 5 minutes, just kind of introductory, he looked at me and he goes, you don't have to say anything more. I want whatever you're on. And I was in shock. I was like, and this isn't somebody I knew. This was a connection through somebody else. So I just met him at the IHOP. We chatted a little bit about what we both did, what he did, what he was up to, and then I started talking about Manatech, and he said, I don't need to hear anymore. I just want what you want. And I was like laughing. I said, you don't even know what you're getting. He goes, I don't care. Get me whatever you need, whatever. And I pulled out a sign-up form. I signed him up, and he bought the products. I told him what he's going to be taking. He goes, and I said, do you mind if I ask why you don't even know anything? I mean, I didn't even, and he goes, if you can be that passionate about what you're doing, I want to be a part of it. Wasn't that a cool, super thing? That was just a neat thing. But it's only happened to me once, so I can't tell you there's some magic formula to that. It's good to have those kind of things out there, and it's nice to have. But it'd be really nice if most of our prospects that we are going to meet with really were ready to get going, right? They really wanted a piece of what we had. So how do we pre-sell prospects? And in Al's book, he talks about putting out a survey with people. And it's about, you know, you could put a headline on the survey if you wanted to. He gave a couple of headlines. He said, the one business you can start part-time without jeopardizing your present job. The insider secret to having your own business. These are great headlines, right? The three best ways to get rich in the next 10 years, where to find another $2,500 tax deduction every year. Those are just some of the headlines. Now, what I did is I imprinted on the outline for everybody his survey form just as an example that he had in the book. So you can look at it and review it as maybe something that you can tinker with or develop on your own. This is another thing Lydia and I are planning on implementing because I think it's a great idea. I love the idea of doing kind of like a it's a preview. It's kind of like find out, hey, what makes you tick? What's making you happy? And I wouldn't necessarily do this with somebody that I just met on the street. I might do it with somebody that I've known for a while or somebody I'd been, you know, talking to for a little bit and say, hey, let me just send you a survey. You mind if you would just fill it out and get it back to me and let them fill it out? Because you're kind of pre-selling them. And this, again, I need to revamp some of the language in here because I'm not sold on all of it. But as an idea, I think it's a great idea. people love to fill out things where they can answer questions quickly versus spending an hour trying to listen to you. It really fine-tunes and it gets down to the core principles of what they're looking for, what they're interested in, and why they would be interested in Manatech as a business. If you can get that information back, that really gets you ahead of the eight ball, right? So where can you utilize this? You can give out a survey at the end of an opportunity meeting to find where people are. What do you like most? Are you interested in the business opportunity? Are you interested in health? Are you interested in this? What, you know, how much income would you like to make? All these kind of questions. You can add it to prospecting material. That's kind of where I see it going. It can be a standalone mailer to people if you want to do that. I never do those kind of things, just like I don't put notes on people's cars under their windshields. I mean, these things don't work, so I don't do them because they don't work, right? So, but I like to do things that might have some possibility of really narrowing down what I need to be talking to the prospect about, what's most important to them, making my conversation with them more concise and more direct and more helpful so that we can conclude it in the most efficient way and get them up and running so they can be efficient as well. And when people ask you what you do for a living, it's better than a business card. It's kind of like if somebody asks you what you do for a living, you go, listen, take this survey and tell me if this interests you, and then we'll talk more about what I do, right? Now you become a little secretive. You know, now people are curious about what you do, right? Because you have a survey for them to take. I think that's kind of a neat thing to do. We're so anxious to hand them a business card, and how many of you have gone through thousands of business cards doing Manatech? Would you like to stop going through 1,000 more and maybe just order one more set of business cards and you're done for the next 10 years? Well, then look at potentially handing out a survey instead and let them get back in touch with you. And, of course, that would require you put your information on the survey at the bottom too, you know, or drop this in the mail, send it back to me, or give me a call or email it to me. Love to hear from you. You know, let's take the next step, whatever that is. Okay, so great idea about surveys. Number 7 was word pictures, powerful communication tools. And that's really creating a picture without telling someone what to do, allowing the picture to tell the story. So what you're doing is you're verbalizing in a way that creates a picture in somebody's mind. And you can talk, you know, here's some ideas. How miserable and trapped might you be, Jim, if in your job 10 years from now? Just think and let them think about it. Or how wonderful, thin, and energetic your prospect, you're talking to the person, will be with his grandchildren 5 years from now. So they start picturing this, how much fun it would be to go to Punta Cana or Hawaii every January, leaving the children with grandma and grandpa. Notice what that does. When people just listen to that and they start picturing in their head what that is. And I think I repeated, we got the same one got in there 12. It's about being with their grandchildren. That's in there twice in the outline. But you get the idea. You're building a picture in somebody's mind. And that's, so, you know, how something or other, it's a question your eyes asking with language in there that can build, people can see themselves. They can see themselves in Hawaii. You know, the minute I mentioned Hawaii, the other day I was talking to somebody and I said, yeah, we're going to Punta Cana in December and then Hawaii in January. Oh my gosh, can I go to Hawaii with you? I mean, somehow it just, Punta Cana meant nothing to them. Hawaii meant everything. But you could see the word Hawaii just had this connectiveness in their brain. So even just a word can signify a lot. It's a picture because people can, when they think of Hawaii, they have visualization of what that looks like, you know, what the beaches are like, what, you know, going to visit Pearl Harbor, all these wonderful things that can take place on a trip like that. And it's, so you want to build the word pictures because they're very great communication tools. So it's, because it's not what we say that matters as much as it what they remember. So if you leave pictures, we tend to want to give them so many features of the product, so much data, and it's like, whoa, how do they? That's why I loved using actual pictures. And that's what, you know, we did this wine and cheese party and signed everybody up a couple of weeks ago, and all I did was use a laminated copy of the front cover of Science Magazine. that picture tells a thousand words, right? That's what I always tell people. I said, pictures tell it all. When you stand up there and just talk, it's not exactly helpful. Most people don't respond very well to that, but a picture is what they respond to. So we want to make sure we build pictures with our communication. Number eight, more sound bites and short presentations. Again, yeah, I mean, if sound bites are good, then do more sound bites. In fact, he says add sound bites to your presentation. So times have changed. We now live in a Facebook, Twitter, era where prospects aren't very patient. They don't spend a lot of time reviewing things. A 1 to 2 hour presentation is way, way, way something of the, dinosaur era. So we want to load people with sound bites. That's what they're used to getting. That's what's out there. That's what's in advertisement. You can see it. Everybody knows this is what advertising firms are all about. So napkin presentations, quick napkin presentations, meet somebody for 15 minutes. You've got to be prepared to be concise and to the point in a short period of time. So how do we want sound bites that would, when you're talking to a prospect and they're, they're not sure that, people would be really interested in nutrition products, and you go, well, some people, there's some language that came out of the book, some people have more money than health, and they are more willing to spend a little bit of money to reclaim their health. Everyone wants to live longer, healthier lives, and then other people have more health than money, and they're willing to trade a little bit of their health to earn more money. They work overtime, seek part-time jobs, even start part-time nutritional businesses to earn more money. So what you've just done with those two sound bites is you've told the prospect that everybody's going to have an interest in what we do, because you got the people that have more money than health that want more health, they'll invest in it, and you have the people that have more health than money that are going to be looking to make more money, so they're going to work harder and longer part-time jobs and look at starting a side business, a part-time nutritional business, to support their cash flow. So we got both ends of the spectrum. If a business approach, you can use that. If you go out there, he talked about sending postcards out. He was really funny. He said, "So let's say you send a one color postcard out to people," and he goes, "That's going to be exciting to them until they get a two color postcard from somebody else. And if you start using a two color postcard, that'll be exciting until they get a three color. So anyone can outdo you with materials that you send out, right? So you don't want to get people thinking that they're competing. The business is all about competing with materials. Whoever has the best materials wins. You don't want that to happen. It's the relationship that makes all the difference. Our business is truly about building relationships. So you want to get the attention of your prospects who are money and freedom motivated. In other words, they're motivated to make more money. They're hungry to make more money. And they want more time freedom, so they're motivated to get a better lifestyle. So I call it better lifestyle all around, because with money and more time freedom, anyone has a better lifestyle, right? Exactly. So money and lifestyle freedom. They want more. They're motivated by better lifestyle, more money. So what can you do in a one-minute presentation to quickly help people quickly make that decision? What do you say? I'm not telling you what to say. I'm just saying that this is something you want to work on so that you can make sure you got sound bites that allow them to see that, right? Number nine, you don't have to say much to get your point across. There are two types of people in the world, those who get a word-of-mouth advertising bonus check in their mailbox once a month and those who don't. Which group do you want to be in? That's a great little short blip that you can tell people. You know, there are two types of people in the world. Those who get a word-of-mouth advertising bonus check in their mailbox every month, and those who don't. Which group do you want to be in? People could choose. It's a choice. Manatech's a choice. Don't you think there's something wrong with having to work 50 weeks out of the year for someone else and only getting 2 weeks for yourself? And then, at times, we can't even pick when we get our two measly weeks. That always triggers a response. See how your point gets across without saying much. You don't have to go on and on about, oh, and then you become regional and national executive and presidential, and then you can have time freedom. You can quit your job when you get to executive if all you need is an extra couple $1,000s a month. And, we get wah, 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 wah. We develop all of that stuff when it's really easy to say it in a simple way. So keep it simple to get your point across. Number 10, if prospects are motivated by strange reasons, shouldn't we change our presentations? why do prospects join our business? And he just gave a whole flurry of reasons why people change our business. So maybe we're focusing on the wrong motivation factors. We do tend to talk about, financial freedom and time freedom, right? That motivates people. And we just mentioned that money is a big motivator out there. We know that. People like to have more money, but they like to have the lifestyle differences. But that's what these are, but they get into more specifics. So it's about finding out what the people like. You know, if somebody loves to go skiing or they love fishing and you go, wouldn't you want to get more time to go fishing and golfing? I mean, what if you could go whenever you wanted to? I mean, they would look at you and they'd just start drooling because that would be a drooling lifestyle for them. But notice what we're talking about. If you a lot of people buy skincare products because they want to get them at high wholesale prices. They're in the business because they want to get skincare at wholesale prices so they'll look younger at family reunions. Or they want more money so they can buy a big car to impress their pompous neighbor. Or they want extra money to buy lottery tickets. It's funny how none of these apply to me, but maybe they apply to people out there, right? To socialize with positive people at trainings and conventions. We have a lot of people. And trust me, people, we got a lot of people in Manatech that are involved in Manatech because of a social reason. And I think it's awesome because we have a great group of people. I love the people in my organization. In fact, one of the reasons I love to travel so much is I love to be around them. So it's fun and enjoyable to be socializing with people that are my friends, that I admire, that are committed to similar, events that I am and results that I am. It's just fun to be around them. To be able to impress their friends and say that they have an international business, right? You can do that. You impress your friends and say you have an international. So they'll never have to sit next to that obnoxious coworker again. How many of us feel that way? You know, a lot of people don't like their work environment, whether it's an obnoxious coworker or boss or whatever. To be able to take vacation when their child's participating in a state tournament. I can take time off, and I love that about it. I watch Kevin Robbins. He never misses any of his daughter's events. She's a gymnast, and his son plays football and other things. I mean, he never has to miss a drop of any of that. And then to avoid groveling and begging every time you want some time freedom. And I watch people at my church. I've got a gal who comes to us in the mission field every summer. She goes to Brazil with us. And oh, my gosh, the groveling starts January 1. The minute the new year begins, she has to start groveling to just get those 2 weeks off to go to Brazil every year. And it's sad to watch her go through that. But I keep thinking, wow, do I love my non-job. Yeah, right? I love my non-job. So these are the kind of motivations you want to focus on and concentrate on for people because that's what moves them. It becomes, what are you aiming at here? Can you guys see what it's all about? It's kind of like finding a little bit of their why. You're not getting a big why, perhaps, but a little bit. You're starting to hone in on it when you get these up. Number 11 was 7 magic words that will build your business. This is something I love to do already, and I'm going to tell you, it works wonders. It's a great thing. What if you just change your outlook? In other words, what if you decide to just have a bit of empathy and consideration for your prospect? You help your prospect in any way in his life. This is why, and my number one core value is contribution anyway, so it's really easy for me to go out there and say, how can I help you? How can I contribute? What can I do to make your life difference and find ways that I can enhance people's lives? I believe that's what we're here on earth to do. And when we focus on enhancing other people's lives, what's a natural repercussion? We quit focusing on our own so people don't have as much depression, if any. Number 2, our lives get better because we get so many rewards back from helping other people. I mean, the joy that casts upon us to just be able to support and help other people is awesome. So it's about how do we extend ourselves. And I just gave you a list out of the book of different ways that he said you can help other people. You can make suggestions, recommendations for them. See whatever you can help them out in. We all have ways we can help other people. And it doesn't have to be a talent you have. You can have a recommendation for somebody you know who's really good at something that you can just pass on to other people. All you have to do is care. Who else benefits as you start caring on these people? Of course, a lot of them then become friends, and down the road, guess what? They sign up in your Manatech business because they like you. You've made this huge donation in their life. You've made a difference in their lives. Once you save them a few $100 on their tax return or a few $100 here or the refinance their mortgage and to save a few $100 here, what's an extra $100 on nutritional products on a monthly basis when you've already saved them more than twice or three times that amount of money, right? See the difference? Huge. And now they're more willing to listen to you and proceed with you because they know you care. And who else benefits? Every single one of these you've given a referral to are people that also benefit. So now you can go back to them and say, you know what, I keep making recommendations to you. I've given you about 10 customers in the last, you know, 5 months or 3 months or whatever time period. He says, maybe you can reciprocate by recommending people to me who you get to know who could really benefit from a part-time business. But you have to ask people. You can't just sit back and go, well, they haven't given me a referral yet. You want to make sure you ask. You want to make sure you give them some materials so they understand what you're doing. You want to make sure you give them some business cards. You want to make sure that, but most importantly, you want to give them a call once a week and check in. Just say, hey, John, this is Mary Jo. I know we talked last week about, you know, if you had any ideas, and I'm just checking in with you on a weekly basis just to see if you found anyone yet for me or want to give me a referral. Right? You can call up and ask for referrals on a weekly basis. Once you've cleared the air that they're willing to do that because you're referring business to them, then you want to get reciprocation there, right? And here's a great thing. When you're talking to people and you're working, when you're working with people or you're talking to people and you say, what else can I do for you? Isn't that great? Those are his magic 7 words. What else can I do for you? Memorize that one and just use it over and over again and see how that plays out in your life. I guarantee you one thing. When you say that to people, they're going to have a huge smile on their face. They're going to be so thankful. Now, some of you are going, Mary Jo, I could say that to somebody and they get really ornery and cranky. I said, well, they're probably not people you want in your organization either. Be careful with some of our assessments of these things because sometimes we get stuck in the realm that everybody's right for my business. Wrong. We know what that pie shape says. What does it tell us? It tells us over 50% of the people, almost 60% of the people, I think, is not actually, because I think it's 35 and 25, so that gives you 60% of the people either will have no interest or are not looking. So you already got, you're down to 40% that are possibilities. And then the likely ones are less than 30%, right? So you're talking about two out of 10 people will really actually be out looking and be truly good prospects for you. So knowing that, you don't have to worry about it. You work the numbers. That's why we go out and talk to as many people as we do on a weekly basis. How do you make your prospect eager, excited, and almost begging to hear your presentation? When you go to a meeting, don't you look around the room, and I always like to laugh at Manatech meetings. I always look in the room, I go, okay, who came to this meeting tonight not even knowing they're coming to a meeting because somebody asked you out to dinner and they just said, hey, we're stopping by this company after dinner for a few moments. And, you know, inevitably somebody over here. I said, well, it could be the same person that got dragged kicking and screaming that didn't want to be here, or how many of you don't even have an idea why you're here? You know, and it's kind of fun. But that's what happens. People end up going to meetings. They go, oh, they're going to ask me for money. Oh, I don't, you know, I really don't want this. I really don't want all these kind of things are going on in their heads. How do we change the negativity, those underlying preconceptions, to somebody walking in saying, I'm looking for an opportunity. I really need something for my retirement. I want a lot more from life. And what you can do in order to do that is get your prospect to contemplate and internalize these two huge benefits, time and money freedom, and what they would mean to them. So when he comes to the meeting, instead he's saying, I can retire at 60 instead of 85. Or I can't wait to see how I can spend more time with my grandchildren, right? And one way to do that is to give your prospect a special question or form to fill out before the opportunity meeting actually starts. And I just attached the form that he came out with, and this is what he's using. And I like it. I think it's sweet. I actually use this a lot. In fact, one of my people actually put it on her business card because she loved the idea of, you know, if you want to make an extra $1,000 a month, it says in our interest rate availability today, the bank doesn't even pay you 2%, but let's really assume 2%, which is higher than you can get. You would have to deposit $600,000 after taxes in that bank to generate $1,000 of income on a monthly basis to help you with your retirement gap, your current gap in at 35 years old in terms of your outflow and your inflow of cash flow, right? Now, how many of you are going to accumulate $600,000 in cash after taxes to be able to put in a bank account to make an extra $1,000 a month? Not very many. In fact, especially when you talk baby boomers, not at all, because they're, for the most part, most of them are done collecting that kind of cash flow. So it's a great questionnaire in terms of retirement and all the issues around retirement. So it can be given to somebody who's 30 as well as somebody who's 55. It doesn't matter their age. But, again, another concept for you to have people focusing now when they come to the meeting, now they can focus on how they can achieve that, right? They got a better idea. They understand now that this is an opportunity for them to learn more about how to get there, where they want to be. Okay, people, that's it. That gets through 12. Hopefully, you can look back and you can circle a couple of these and go, wow, I could use this one or I could use that one, just like I said with Lydia and I. And I really want to experiment with the other ones too, the surveys and those forms. So I'm going to be building some of that. But hopefully this touched your heart and you can circle some. Don't try to implement all 12 because you won't. I'm saying pick on one, maximum two maybe, that you want to start implementing, because it's important that if we want to see things change, we need to make changes ourselves, right? And these are just some great little quips, little ideas of how to be more effective in our prospecting and marketing of Manatech to others. Okay, everybody, any last comments, questions? All right, then don't forget, last week of business period, you guys have a great week, and finish off with a bang, and we'll go into the last two business periods of the year with just some great, great momentum, and love you all. Again, have a great week. Bye, everybody.
Questionnaire.
Yeah.
Where do we get that questionnaire?
Which question? Which one?
You were talking about a specific questionnaire.
The one in the middle? I put two of them in the outline. I put the questionnaire in the middle. You could find it on page 3 of the outline. Do you have the outline?
Yep, page 3.
Yeah, look at page 3.
I thought you were referring to another one there at the end. Okay.
Yeah, oh, at the end?
Yeah.
The one at the end is on the last page of the outline.
Yeah, I didn't notice. All right, thank you.
See, three questions on the last page of the outline. Yeah, those three questions about retirement income, which applies to anyone. Again, it could be somebody 30. I mean,
okay, great.
Got it? Okay, good.
Okay,
thanks. All right, everybody. Goodbye.